Good afternoon, everyone. It's so good to be back home from the feast. It's such an uplifting time to come back home to get back into our routine again. For my topic today, I've had name for it, is overcoming and what gets in the way. Let's start out by turning to a scripture. Let's turn to Revelation 21, and we're going to read 5 to 7 first. Revelation 21, 5 to 7. He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It's done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes, or conquers, will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." We have heard a lot about overcoming lately. It's such a small word, but such a huge meaning. Overcome in the Greek is nikeo. It means to conquer, to prevail, to get the victory. Just a few references of some scriptures. You don't have to turn to these, but I'll just reference them and talk what they are. In Philippians 2, 12 to 13, Apostle Paul says, "Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose." Again, Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13, 5, you don't have to turn there, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you?" And then Apostle John says in 1 John 3, "Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he, Jesus, is pure." This is a personal challenge we have with God. Each one of us has our own road to hoe, so to say. How do we respond to this challenge? What are some of the things that get in the way of overcoming? There were three areas, strategies that Satan uses, which I'm going to kind of go over a little bit this morning. The first area is worldly sorrow and godly sorrow. Satan tries endlessly to separate us from God by reminding God of our guilt. This is one area I didn't understand. Now, I saw it as one of Satan's strategies that kept me in the dark for years. Satan continually accuses us when we are guilty and wants to separate us from God and each other. It was the way I responded to my guilty state that caused me to be so far off course for so many years. Guilt is shame-based and inward, which is exactly what Satan wants, to keep us out of the relationship to God and with each other. I was quick to apologize. I was saying all the words, but in reality, I wasn't really sorry. I felt sorry. But I was more interested in clearing my conscience. I didn't change, and the future was exactly like the past. I kept repeating past behavior. Have you ever driven one of the older cars that didn't have power steering? We used to go up to the mountain. My folks, we had this old 39 Plymouth. We used to go up the mountain just to get away. We go up there, we get in some of these old logging roads, and they'd have these ruts in the road. And we get in there, and there's no way we could have gotten out. We had to get out, jack up the car, put something out of the tire, turn it so we can get out and get up off the road. Now, it took all the strength we had to do that, depending how deep the rut was, of course. But later, they came in with power steering and was added, and that was one way that we could get out of that rut. But let me put a little bit of connotation on this. It took Jesus Christ as my power steering, as well as others, to get me out of that rut that I was in too deep for all those years. True repentance is from God, and if we keep repeating the negative behavior, we know it isn't true. Timothy 2, 23 to 26, we can turn there. Timothy 2, verses 23 to 26. Don't have anything to do with foolish or stupid arguments, because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. We all are servants. We are all those. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct, in that hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of Satan, who has taken them captive to do his will. There's a key here. The prognosis of change is to look whether the repentance or the change is from outside pressure of just being sorry or from true desire to change inwardly. Getting caught or adapting to someone's anger is not a long-lasting way of life. Eventually, the motivations must be a hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God and the love for the injured. Godly love and empathy changes us. Until God opened my heart, my mind, softened my heart, I did not understand this, but asking God for help and truly was heartbroken for the hurt that I caused to someone I loved and was moved toward a relationship and a reconciliation. God showed me his love and compassion and was the turning point that helped me finally repent. I got a repentance that lasts. I was in this trap for 25 years. Second area is tempting versus testing. Satan's strategy is to tempt us to avoid a relationship with God. In Matthew 4, 1-11, you don't have to turn there, shows where Satan tempted Jesus Christ, and Satan does the same with us. He wants to influence us to break the bond we have with God and each other. Examples of tempting you have in Mark 14:38. I'll just go through these. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Another area in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way that you will be able to stand under it. And sometimes it takes years until we are hungry and thirsty enough for change, as it was with me. Examples of testing. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test or challenge yourselves. God tested Abraham in Genesis, and also he tested Job. For 25 years, I was under Satan's influence by being tempted with the impression that other control was biblical, and Satan really held a field day with me in this area, and God was also testing me to see, with his help, if I would respond to change. I thank God to this day that I did. I am so grateful and thankful that it has in God's plan that through his great mercy and grace, he gives us time. Third area, isolation. Satan delights in disconnecting relationships. He knows the power of love is in relationship. Satan is dedicated to isolating us from God and each other. We were created for intimacy, to connect with someone with heart, soul, and mind. Intimacy occurs when we're open and vulnerable and honest. These qualities help to build relationships with God and each other. We know each other at deep levels when we share our feelings and fears and failures and hurts. We are meant to have intimacy with God and with people. If we do not, we experience isolation, even if we are in some kind of a relationship. Isolation refers to splitting up or breaking up or sorting out In other words, the devil wanted just the opposite of Jesus, who desired for us to be at one as we are one. In John 17:22. Satan wants division, not oneness, because he is very aware of the power of relationship over isolation. Satan wants to divide and conquer. These attitudes keep those who need help sifted away from God's own resources, and the body becomes split and fragmented. As we look back and the process that we had and the problems we had in the church before, we can see how this happened. We need just the opposite. We need to face our problems, failings, and struggles, but we can't do it alone. We need God and each other. What we don't admit won't be fixed. In conclusion, I'm the type who needs a plan. Every day I need to look at the areas that I know I'm weak in. One of those areas is driving on the freeway every day. I'll tell you, if there's going to be a place of temptation, it's going to be that. If somebody comes up, cuts me off, I say, oh, thank you for cutting me off today. No, I wish I could, but I'm not there yet. So those areas, that, you know, you kind of have to, I'm working on it. I guess I stay home. No. There's so many areas we still have to overcome, but I just wanted to share with you today some of the areas that I think we had to focus on, because we really have problems in areas sometimes of finding the difference between our own self, what we have. We have the bad side of us and we have the good side of us, and we want to be good, but yet we become bad. And that's what happened to me for so many times. So I wanted to share that with you because it can be a real issue. And I just turned 65. And 5 years ago was when this all started to change. So 60 years of my life, I've been putting up with this garbage, you know? So now, I don't want some of you youngsters out there to have to do that. I'm sharing this with you so maybe we can get a handle on it beforehand. If you can find some person you can be safe with, that you can go and talk with, do that. If you have problems, share them. We're not going to condemn you. We're going to love you through the process. Thank God somebody did that with me, because I was ready to fight them. That's just the way it was. Somebody come up to me with a bad attitude, well, I'm going to get into that one. Anyway, overcoming is a lifelong process. And one of the ways I think we can kind of tell whether you're on the right track or not, I know it has with me, and it's going to be one of my last scriptures here. Let's go to Philippians 4:7. I love this scripture. One of my favorite ones. Philippians 4:7. Let's start out with verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now, this next part. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We can't do it without Christ. If you get to a point where you say, okay, I think I'm getting there, it's because the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is with you. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. It's our Savior, our King, our life, Jesus Christ.